and it's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor. No lurking conservatives here this morning, Riley.
Doesn't look like it.
We are broadcasting live from Restaurant Florent at 69 Gansevoort Street between Greenwich and Washington. Come on down. There's still plenty of room. They got food. They got everything. We're down in the meatpacking district here in New York City. Cobblestone streets, Riley.
Yeah,
look
I
at
told
that.
You.
I know. It's great. It's great. We got a great crowd here. We're giving away 3 six-month subscriptions to Film Movement throughout the morning, the DVD of the Month Club for independent and foreign films. We got keychains. We got all kinds of stuff. And there's food. Come down. There's people walking in right now. How are you, fellas? Find yourself a seat. I teach you, but I got this to do. How you feeling, Riley?
I'm feeling all right, man.
Yeah?
Yeah, this is a great... I love this particular area of Manhattan because you have the meatpacking people on one side and the trendy people in the same side.
The trendy people, that's sort of broad. That's a broad umbrella down here in the meatpacking district. That trendy person label has evolved over time. You know, went from, I guess, what was it, the 70s? It went from meat hooks to harnesses to straps to leather.
It went from deviant to trendy.
Uh-huh. There's guys unloading steaks right around the corner.
Yeah.
And there's Japanese furniture shops now. What happened to the beautiful freaks? Are they still down here?
No, they left.
Oh, man. Where'd they go? They're in Jersey? They go to Jersey?
Yeah, they moved to Hoboken. All of them moved to Hoboken.
Apparently, this area was originally and officially known as the Gansevoort Market, named after General Peter Gansevoort, a Revolutionary War hero and grandfather of Herman Melville. So, so when you get to work, drop that on somebody.
It's a little Moby Dickhead.
Did you know Herman Melville's grandfather is Peter Gansevoort? No, who the, I don't know who either of them are.
Yeah. Named after him?
So let's get into some news. You want to do that, man?
Sure, why not?
So apparently, here in New York, a building collapse yesterday freaked everybody out. Up on the Upper West Side?
Yeah, Broadway and 100th Street on the Upper West Side. This happens every now and then in New York, where buildings
fall down?
We had a buildings department that really has only been not corrupt for about the past 5-6 years or so.
They just let things go?
Well, they just sort of, you know, is that a rotting beam? Well, no, that's okay.
Well, apparently they were going to tear this thing down. It used to be a supermarket.
Gristiti's.
Right.
Anybody remember Gristiti's in there? Yeah. Well,
and,
not anymore.
I guess what happened was they were going to build a high-rise there. They're in the middle of demolition, and the thing just, you know, crapped out right in the middle of the day. And the wave of rubble just, you know, took over like 4 people and a baby, but nobody was hurt badly.
No.
But, you know, there's that moment where you freak out when you see something like that. I've got the terrorist creeps right now, not in this place. But because of what happened last week in London, just on the trains and stuff, I imagine to see a building fall down in the middle of Manhattan just would have freaked me out.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're walking down Broadway and suddenly you hear like this rumble and you realize it's not the train and suddenly stuff starts, you know, billowing into the street, people were, and I know there were several people that were interviewed that said, "Gee, I thought something really bad had happened here."
Supreme Justice Rehnquist is out of the hospital. He refuses to die. He refuses to stop working. He's going back to work. I guess he's stubborn. He doesn't want. He's not going to give them the opening.
He's going to work until he dies. By the way, has anybody noticed that he's wearing a Nike swoosh on his hat? Every picture you see of this guy, he's wearing, like, I'm wondering, is this like product placement or something? I don't know.
Well, I think Nike's actually making the robes now.
Think they may be.
In the Mariana Islands with Tom DeLay money.
They may have manufactured his pacemaker or something, too. I don't know.
Nike pacemaker, it's going to happen. George Pataki running for president. What do you think of that? Come on, man. He doesn't have a chance.
Surely he just
doesn't have a chance.
He must be going out to Iowa to, like, see what the weather's like or to test to eat some corn because there's no way in the world George Pataki becomes president of this country. I'm sorry.
And we're going to get into the Roe Joe Wilson thing. The thing is they are trying to slander Joe Wilson now. This is the new Republican idea, the new agenda, the new talking point. And as you all know, this has nothing to do with Joe Wilson. And Joe Wilson did a press conference with Chuck Schumer yesterday and pretty much said that. He pretty much said, why are they even bothering with me? I got nothing to hide. You know, and this is not about me. This is about the fact that Roe did he's a traitor. And I think he's going down for perjury. The Republicans are distancing themselves from him in hordes.
Let me tell you something. I would pay really, really good money to see Karl Rove and Joe Wilson in a boxing ring, 10 rounds.
Yeah!
All right? Because I know Joe Wilson would whip his ass.
The people that the Republican members of Congress that are avoiding Roe like the plague include Bill Frist is not defending Roe, Tom Davis from Virginia not defending Roe, Warner and McCain are both, you know, not defending Roe, Chuck Hagel not defending Roe, that's understandable,
yeah.
Mike DeWine, none of them, all of them are sort of distancing themselves from him because he's toxic and it's a beautiful thing. To see this guy go down would be one of the great joys of being certainly part of this network. What did you think? Did you just say ovarian cancer?
Oh.
I was going to say you thought he was going to die of ovarian cancer, and that you'd be waiting a long time for that unless there's something we really don't know about. There's a guy with a skateboard who we hired. Thanks. We needed one guy with a skateboard to be here just to give us some street cred, some hipster credibility.
You want to talk about some credibility? Out this window, on the second floor of one of these meatpacking buildings, is a Bush sign with a circle around it and a line through it, right up on the second floor over there. We're in the right place.
I was really hoping you were setting this up for a Riley story.
No.
Like, yeah, right up there in that room, I did something so bad in 1972.
No, I'm not talking about that here.
That I can't even tell you about.
People go back to 1972. No.
So, you know, I want to talk a little bit about, in a few minutes, about the day that Karl Rove and George Bush fell in love. Because it was... It was a day back in 1973, you know, the cherry blossoms were out. But we're not. I'm going to hold off on the big story of that because some people know about it. But I want to make sure that people who are listening out there and who aren't in New York City may not listen to us all the time realize that whatever Rove is guilty of, George Bush is guilty of. Now, whatever they do to try to separate Rove from George Bush, it doesn't make any difference because this guy designed George Bush's personality. George Bush is Rove's political penis. This is how it works. Rove is the brains, and George is the sort of actual, he's a human penis that Rove sort of maneuvers. And now what's happening is that there's a little impotence occurring, and it's a beautiful thing.
You know, I thought you were going to call him a scrotum or something.
I could. I'll leave that to you.
Look, what we're seeing here is a stain, one of many, but the last stain on George W. Bush's presidency. This man cannot, in the end, say that he... had no idea what Karl Rove was up to. Karl Rove knew good and well exactly what he was doing. He built in plausible deniability when he outed this woman. And now, you know, we've got a woman in jail, Judith Miller, a reporter, who didn't even write a story about this. We have Matt Cooper, who turns around and decides, okay, well, I'm going to speak to the grand jury. We have all this mess. And we've got people lining up to impugn the integrity of Joe Wilson, a guy who went to Africa and found out that the one of the ramps that the Bush administration was using to go into Iraq was faulty, completely faulty. And we need to start thinking about the numbers of our soldiers who are over there dead and wounded, facing danger every day because of the foolishness that these people perpetrate.
Yeah, and the Republicans... The Republicans leaked a story yesterday that it's apparently Novak's fault. That 3 days before the story, Novak and Rove had a conversation, and Novak says, is Valerie Plame a CIA operative? And Karl Rove said, yes. So now they're trying to blame Novak. This story stinks.
It stinks.
Stinks.
Stinks all the way through. And it is also an expose of how things function inside the Beltway. We should never forget that stuff like this goes on all the time in this administration.
When we continue the show here in a second, Bush reaching out to the black community appeared in Indiana.
Yeah, right.
Appeared in Indiana, and he's sending Ken Melman to the NAACP convention.
I hope he comes back home.
He's like a fifth-tier Republican Jew Tom he's sending to the... to the NAACP convention. We'll talk about that when we come back. It's Air America Radio's Morning Sedition.
Yeah.
15 past the hour, coming to you live from... Restaurant Florent on Gansevoort Street in New York City.
Yeah.
Morning Sedition, delivering you from evil in 3 hours or less. Air America Radio.
Past the hour, it's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Hey.
It's Morning Sedition with Mark and Mark on Air America Radio. We're broadcasting live from Restaurant Florent, 69 Gansevoort Street. That's Gansevoort Street between Greenwich and Washington. If you're in New York, it's the heart of the meatpacking district. Come on down. People are still filing in. A well-dressed man in a black shirt about to walk in. How are you, sir? Welcome aboard. Give him a round of applause. Look at that guy. Wow, he's either been up all night or he's on his way to work. Up all night? Oh, good.
Up all night, Bastille Day celebration.
Try to behave yourself. Yeah, okay. Hey, folks, you know, sometimes when you read headlines, it can be tough to figure out just exactly what the mainstream media is saying. So luckily, we have the iNews 5000 Wi-Fi headline translator. Let's crank it up and beat us some headlines. Brendan! From Newsday, Bush backs away from backing Roe. Put that in the machine. Bush backs away from backing Roe. Translation. Without talking points from Roe, president sits quietly in corner. All right, Rich, take it easy. Yeah, you don't have to force the laughter. We know you're here. All right, from our biggest fan, Rich, up front, was here at 3. All right, from Fox News, Bush GOP seek to woo black voters. Bush GOP seek to woo black voters. Translation. Bush vows his tax cuts will lead to mad bling. All right, let's put that through one more time. Translation. Cedric the Entertainer rejects Supreme Court nomination. Nothing? Nothing? All right. From ABC, Desperate Housewives earn 15 Emmy nominations. Desperate Housewives earned 15 Emmy nominations. Translation, show changes name to Successful Content Housewives. I can't read the other one. All right, go for it. Brendan McDonald on the intro and outro. So let's talk about this, Riley. So Bush says he's supporting the black community in America, then goes to Indiana to speak at a black expo and sends Ken Melman down to the NAACP convention. How many times has this guy snuffed the NAACP?
Oh, well, he's never, ever been to one of their conventions. First American president since Herbert Hoover not to attend.
Another great president.
Yeah, and, you know, he's always talking about this ownership society. Unfortunately for black people, we know what it's like to live in an ownership society when we were the ones being owned, all right? So I don't know, you know, the guy I think is trying to tell us, you know, it's like spitting in the wind and telling us it's raining. He sits up and he says, you know, I've done this, I've done that. But if you sit back and look at the economic and social indicators in the black community, most of them have gone down under George W. Bush.
Uh-huh.
Employment in the black community, housing in the black community, issues like teen pregnancy, all these sorts of things have begun to creep up since George W. Bush took office. So I don't know what he's talking about. And quite frankly, I don't know if I were at the NAACP convention if I want to see his face there any.
I think the Secret Service just got here.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Bush is the first. So, let me just fill the people at home.
Hold up.
Some guy with a suit looking around. He's like, all right, what's going on? So this is them. Okay. And then he started talking into his pen. Bush, I'm kidding, buddy. Thanks. Come on. Okay, Neil, keep an eye on that guy. Bush is actually the first. Like, our security guy's going to watch the Secret Service guy. Yeah.
Right.
You can be working for him in 10 minutes. All right. Bush is the first president since Warren G. Harding, actually, right? I don't mean to correct
you. Harding?
I don't want you to beat yourself up all day.
Oh, wait a minute, man.
I know you,
right? Wrong?
I know.
I have to leave now.
No, you don't. Stay here. I don't want to. Yeah. Okay. Right. So, okay, let's do this. We got time to do this. I want to do the romantic moment when Rove met George Bush.
Harry met Sally.
Picture it, folks. It's 1973. It's Washington, D.C. They're cherry blossoms, maybe the smell of cherry blossoms. Roe, you know, gets up after a long, sweaty night of masturbating to pictures of William McKinley and dreaming about having a normal-shaped head with hair. And he gets a call from his boss, George H.W. Bush, who asks him to pick up his kid at the train station and give him the keys to the car. Roe shows up skittish and angry that more people aren't paying a price for his self-loathing. And off the train walks a young W, fresh from Harvard Business School, where he's been busy on a 3-day coke vendor and a date rape. And the clouds just open up for Rove. And his quote, this is an honest-to-God quote of Rove, said he was exuding more charisma than any individual should be allowed to have.
Wow.
And that was the day, yes. That was the day. That was the day when...
that was when, the day when, you were placed under arrest. Yeah,
when Rove decided that George Bush would be his political penis for the end of time. So I wanted to put that out there for people to make sure that a lot of people, I've been told that a lot of people don't know who Karl Rove is. And for those of you who don't know who Karl Rove is listening to us, it doesn't matter who he is. Just assume that he and Bush are of the same ilk. They are the same person. It is a symbiotic relationship. Nobody has had more power over a president, especially not a deputy chief of staff, like Karl Rove does. Anything that he is guilty of, this president is guilty of. I just want to make sure that we understand that.
He's got his fingers in an awful lot of pies, Karl Rove. He is George Bush's liaison to the conservative movement. He is the person that designed the strategy to go after voters in what are called the exurbs. And he did it very well. I'll give him that much. He went out and got people to vote Republican in these newly designed communities that are outside of many of the major hubs in the country. And they are the fastest growing counties in the country, and Bush took an overwhelming majority of them because Rove thought ahead for a change. But right now, Rove represents a stain, a plague, not just to the Republican Party, not just to this administration, but to America itself, and he should not be allowed to function politically among civilized human beings.
And that's absolutely right. And they should not be allowed to go to an Al-Anon meeting either. Because
no.
This is one of the biggest cases of unrecovered codependency I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And, I don't wish bad on people, but I wish bad on these two.
I really feel like he's manipulating this entire thing from behind the scenes. I believe that Rove is the one that is contacting these different congressmen and senators. And remember, many of them are going to depend on him, assuming he's not indicted, for their jobs next year.
Yeah, I want him. He's going down. We're giving away 3 6-month subscriptions to Film Movement, the DVD of the Month Club for independent and foreign films. Each month, members receive an award-winning new film direct from the world's top festivals such as Cannes and Sundance. The DVDs, including the feature film and bonus short, A Years to Own. For more information, visit filmmovement.com. We will be back with the owner of this joint, Florent Morales. And thank him for having us. Thank you for being here. We're broadcasting live from Restaurant Florence on Gansevoort Street here in New York City. It's 27 past the hour. Morning's edition with Mark and Mark, Air America Radio.
Morning's edition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley on Air America Radio. Of CNN's 25th anniversary, Morning Sedition is proud to present Great Moments in Journalism on CNN.
We're going to talk about Pete here and the incredible things that penguins go through just to basically reproduce.
Yeah, most people don't really realize what penguins go through. Just being able to raise their eggs and raise their young to adulthood, sometimes it's so difficult to just, you know.
I got to tell you, we've had a lot of movie stars and things here. No one's been as excited as to see the live penguins. Stay with us. It's going to be hard to top penguins, but President Bush to speak in the White House a few minutes from now with leaders of 5 African nations.
This has been Great Moments in Journalism on CNN, brought to you by Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Good morning, folks. It's 35 past the hour. It's Mark Maron with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
Air America Radio's Morning Sedition broadcasting live from Restaurant Florent, 69 Gansevoort Street here in the Meatpacking District of New York City. In just a moment, we'll be talking to the owner of the joint, who's going to give us a little bit of history about the place. But first, I got to tell you, as you know, our right-wing Planet Bush Bureau Chief Lawton Smalls has been on assignment in Iraq on the so-called Truth Tour with some other neocon radio show hosts. Unfortunately, it appears that Lawton has been abducted, as some of you know, by a radical group somewhere in the desert. We have not had any contact with him for 2 days. However, last night we received a package, apparently from the militant insurgent group that is holding Lawton. And the package contained an audio tape. Hey, Kalo, can we play that now?
People of America, this is Lawton Smalls. I am speaking of my own free will. Well, I am a CIA agent and a puppet of the great Satan, George W.
Two terms mandate.
Bush. He is a buffoon and a failure. The man cannot even stay on a bicycle. Well, that's just mean, isn't it? That's just mean. Your illegal occupation of Iraq is doomed. You are running out of troops and money. You must send $50 million.
Really? Wow, that seems like a lot.
In small unmarked bills to the address on the package, or I, Lawton Smalls, CIA agent and stooge of the great Satan, will be...
Do I have to say this?
Executed. There is no God but God.
Well, that's true. I mean, we agree on one thing anyway.
Oh, okay. Salam alaikum. Deal with it. Thank you.
All right. That's wow. Sad, right? I hope he's going to be all right.
I hope he's going to be okay.
Yeah, something will happen over the weekend. We can figure out what happens to poor Lawton. All right, even though the meatpacking district has changed dramatically over the past few years, one establishment has remained constant. I remember this place when I was like 20. Restaurant Florent has been serving French food here 24 hours a day for two decades. Florent Marlet is the man behind the restaurant. He's been called the unofficial mayor of the meatpacking district, and he joins us now. Thanks for having us here.
Yeah!
So, could I could have sent, corrected, I'd rather be the queen.
Okay, you are the queen of the meatpacking district. And speaking of queens, this place has changed a lot over the last 20 years. It must be a whole different crowd now. Is that true?
Is that changed?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
That's news. well, yeah, it has changed.
Yeah. What's happening down here that is different? Was it funner before?
Well, it's that, the one that looks like whores, actually, they're getting paid a lot more money now.
Yeah.
But things are changing. Well, you see, the NYPD are pulling cars of news people instead of Johns now. No, things are going very, very fast.
Yeah.
People hate me.
Why do they hate you?
Because, with my conspirator, actually, she's sitting on the banquette right now. Her name is Jo Hamilton. We were, actually, it was a fixed marriage.
Uh-huh.
5 years ago, in 2000, we were put together to lead a task force to create a historic district, and we succeeded. So we were able to channel the change, so that the street and...
You created a historic district here. You rallied.
This crap across the street.
Yeah.
That is landmarked.
That's landmarked?
Yes.
Well, good for you. I'm going to bring my family over here when they come into town because you're right. It has a certain
charm
to it.
You got to teach your kids, about historic buildings.
What about around the corner? They've got that elevated train from the 1800s that runs all the way. Where's it run up to 28th Street, Riley?
It is protected, not under the landmark laws, but it is. And there is now over $50 million allocated, and it is going to be started being renovated. The first section, the construction is going to start in the fall.
I didn't even notice it. That was the first time I ever even noticed it.
Oh, no, I've seen it before.
He's got to go out a little more.
I've got to get one. I don't come to the meatpacking district a lot.
Well, come down.
Come on down. But Florent and I were talking about the earlier history of the meat.
Yeah.
Because he knows about some of the clubs that used to be over here.
Come on. You know a lot.
I guess you were not talking about the mineshaft. Huh?
Oh, yeah.
No, or the ring, which used to be called something else, too.
Yeah.
I know a little bit about those.
Uh-oh.
I used to go there.
Oh, good.
Now and then, because I was in... Well, never mind.
Never mind.
No, I mean, I was friendly with the Paradise Garage, the Loft, places like that. I was friendly with the people that played music.
Oh, you had a friend who had a friend. Yeah, I heard that one.
No, they're still my friends. Many of them.
Are any of those clubs still around?
Oh, no, it's clean.
Yeah? Do you miss that time?
You know, I decided in rehab not to miss the past.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing here. That's why I do this now.
Was that a decision or you just don't remember most of it?
It's 50-50, okay?
So now, do you think that it's interesting that you had a Bastille celebration here last night. Do you think that Americans in general will ever fully accept and love the French?
It goes both ways.
Yeah.
You know. They both have big, big problems.
Yeah.
They both think that they should teach the world to behave
mm-hmm.
when it comes to human rights.
Mm-hmm.
They both have it.
Yeah.
They both had the revolution. They both don't know that the other one had a revolution.
Most Americans know very little, I have to tell you.
Yeah. And, you know, to be frank, the rest of the world think of the American independence.
Mm-hmm.
They never heard about the American Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sorry if it's news to you guys. I don't want to break your heart. But
hold on, American Revolution. Can I have a piece of paper? Yeah. I just want to make sure. Yeah, I heard of it.
And so both, you know, think that the other should learn from the first one.
Well, I think that there are certainly things we can learn and should learn. Like like food is good. I like France because they have very good vegetables. Did you know that? No, I'm serious.
But they're so small.
I know, but they're tasty. All right, here we go. I want to thank you, Florent Morellet, for having us here, and I want to thank you for talking to us for a few minutes, and thank you for supporting the network.
Yeah, thank you for supporting the network.
And thank you for being the queen of the meatpacking district.
Well, thank you very much for coming. I mean, really love it.
And so we're gonna come back, and we've got Riley's Dog of the Week coming up next. We've got some Cliff Notes coming up next. We'll talk more about Karl Rove and George Bush in a few minutes. It's 43 past the hour. You're listening to Air America Radio's Morning Sedition.
Morning Sedition, Mark Maron and Mark Riley.
Don't just stare at it. Eat it.
On Air America Radio.
Past the hour, it's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley. It's Air America Radio's Morning Sedition program coming to you live from Restaurant Florent here on 69 Gansevoort Street between Greenwich and Washington in the heart of New York City's meatpacking district. We're going to have Fernando Pereira, mayoral candidate, up here in a few minutes. We got Steve Earle coming up. We got the Dog of the Week coming up. But right now, if you're just tuning in, here are a few highlights of what we talked about on the program. It's time for today's Morning Sedition Cliff Notes. Republicans are distancing themselves from Karl Rove. One senator said off record, let's put it this way, if Rove was on life support, no one would be fighting to reinsert his feeding tube. Republican congressmen say they will embrace Rove again only after he is melted into a puddle and Dorothy has taken his broomstick. Support for Osama bin Laden in the Muslim world is falling. A lot of people think the reason Osama's numbers are down is because of the Social Security plan he was offering for Al-Qaeda members. One of the big drawbacks of the plan was eventually you have to blow yourself up, so you really don't get a chance to collect on your benefits. People are just tired of the old material. If Bin Laden would just put out an album of new stuff, maybe tour, he'd be back on top. Walmart has censored the cover of Willie Nelson's new reggae album, replacing a picture of a cannabis leaf with a picture of a palm tree. The music section of Walmart isn't the appropriate place for marijuana anyways. Everyone knows you buy pot from the stock boys behind Walmart near the dumpsters. The plan backfired when an impressionable teenager in Jacksonville, Florida, tried to smoke a palm tree. A palm tree, people. We're giving away 3 6-month subscriptions to Film Movement, the DVD of the Month Club for independent and foreign films. Each month, members receive an award-winning film direct from the world's top festivals. The DVDs, including the feature film and bonus short, are yours to own. Go to filmmovement.com for more info. Right now, it is time. Can I go? Are you ready? It is time for Mark Riley's Dog of the Week.
Well, you know, folks, there are a number of qualified candidates for this week's dog. We could toss a bone in the direction of President Bush's right-hand man, Karl Rove, but no, he's too easy. Then there's the guy from the Weekly Reader, that venerable kids publication, who was busted for allegedly soliciting sex from a young boy. Doggish as these allegations are, however, they remain allegations. This week's dog has actually been convicted. We're talking about disgraced former WorldCom boss Bernie Ebbers. The man formerly known as the Telecom Cowboy oversaw the biggest corporate fraud in U.S. history to the tune of $11 billion. This week, Ebbers had to pay for his crime, and pay he will. A federal judge here in New York sentenced him to 25 years in prison. At age 63, Bernie Ebbers will most likely leave prison in one of three ways: using a walker, in a wheelchair, or in a pine box. His lawyer asked for leniency because of Ebbers' heart condition. No dice, said the judge. Maybe she was thinking about the thousands of workers and shareholders whose lives were shattered by the collapse of WorldCom back in 2002. It was described by one former employee to the court as human carnage. When he was sentenced, Bernie Ebbers cried.
Aww.
As our friend Leslie Gore, who was with us just last week, would say, you would cry too if it happened to you. Bernie Ebbers is left with no money and hard prison time. For that and high crimes and misdemeanors, Bernie Ebbers is the morning's edition Dog of the Week. Girly man.
Do you hear him?
Yes.
So, all right, enough of that. So, Riley.
Yes, sir.
A lot of people don't realize you were out there listening. Everyone saw it here in the middle of our conversation with Florent.
You're going to go there.
The
huh?
tow truck just comes right up, and Riley sees his car almost going away.
Yeah. I've been to the impound before over here. I didn't want to make another trip.
And I have never seen you act so quickly. The reflexes were unbelievable. You threw the keys to Goliath number one, who immediately went out to the car. Where's Goliath two? We have Goliath and Goliath as interns. Oh, there he is, right? We've got Davey, Big Davey Goliath and Goliath Anthony. And we say this with love. Look at people out there. It's like, oh, is he hurting their feelings?
So, that was a very close call.
It was a close call.
Give Anthony
quickly.
A round of applause. He saved my car this morning. I hope you parked in a legal spot this time. Thank you.
Are you keeping an eye on it? I used to hate that about this city, man. I got my car towed like six or seven times, and you got to go through that walk of shame and the maze of the tow yard over there.
Yeah, and they all look at you like, you know, the people behind the counters look at you like, you miscreant.
Oh, and if you owe money on tickets, you have to wait there forever.
Yeah.
It's awful.
And bring cash, folks. Bring cash.
All right. Well, thank you, Rich. I don't know what you said, but I appreciate you being here. It's nice that you're out. Rich is here every live broadcast, no matter where it is. If we ever go out of town, Rich, if we go to Boston or Florida and you show up, it's going to make me nervous and frightened. I don't mind the New York thing, but I don't want Rich going to show up at my house next. All right, here we go. So in London, police officials have announced that four people that were carrying the bombs in the attacks last week have all been identified. All four were British, two from Pakistani descent, one a Jamaican-born British citizen. Officials have confirmed that what was most feared, really, in this, Riley, was that these were sort of homegrown suicide bombers, which is a first on both fronts there.
Yeah, and they are also people who were recruited and trained by people who are still at large. Now, unlike the United States, which responded to a terror attack by invading a country that had little or nothing to do with it, the Brits have treated this as a law enforcement issue. That's why they've gotten as far as they've gotten in terms of information about what actually took place.
It'd be interesting to see if they continue doing that way, because they put these new laws. They've sort of enacted this search law that is similar, not in essence to the Patriot Act, but it seems like they're moving it out of the courts a little bit.
Well, they're moving it out of the courts, but in terms of who's taking the lead in this investigation, it's Scotland Yard. It's not even MI5, although I'm sure they're involved, but they have gotten the cops involved with this, and they're using police intelligence And they are, I believe, going to finally, assuming they're still in the country, track down the people that are behind the people that did this.
Yeah, well, apparently there's a manhunt going on there now for an Egyptian-born academic who recently taught chemistry at Leeds University, and they think he might have something to do with it. They suspect maybe up to six other people besides the bombers, and they don't know exactly where they came from. We tried to talk to Peter Bergen, the author of Holy War Incorporated, and Larry Johnson, the counterterrorism expert, in trying to figure out whether or not some of these people might have come out of Iraq, because Iraq is now a center for training terrorists, and they were not able to speculate along those lines.
Well, no, Peter Bergen said he kind of doubted that they came from Iraq, but right now we don't know where they came from. We don't know how they've managed to get into England and start recruiting people. But believe me, if it's happening in England, it's probably happening here as well. There are probably people here that are out trying to recruit folks, maybe not as successfully as in England, but they are trying to recruit folks to do the same kind of thing here. And, you know, again, you don't want to get paranoid. You do have to live your life. But this is a situation that is not going to go away. And as you very correctly pointed out, Mark, Iraq is going to be part of the catalyst that moves people in this direction, because many people in the Middle East simply detest the fact that America is there.
I believe that some of these academics, these college-educated terrorist masterminds or people that are doing that strategic work are going to be the new leaders of this movement, and the people that are coming up in Iraq, the insurgents, and the people that are fighting against Americans will be the global soldiers of the next wave of terrorism, and most of those are being trained because the U.S. is training them by being in Iraq.
Yeah, and you remember, too, that in every expert we've spoken to, Mark, talks about the fact that these folks are looking, in the end, to change the policy of nations. They are trying to get people to think twice before they take certain actions. A lot of people, Bush will say, well, they hate our freedom, they hate this, they hate that. They don't hate our freedom. They don't really know our freedom. People in Iraq don't know our freedom. They just don't. What they do want to do, however, is change American policy, whether it's military bases in Saudi Arabia, which people had a whole thing about back in the day as well, or whatever.
Yeah, well, when we come back, we're going to talk to mayoral candidate Fernando Ferrer. We're going to ask him about George Pataki's run for president and about the future of New York. You're listening to Air America Radio's Morning Sedition program, live from Restaurant Florent here on Gansevoort Street in the Meatpacking District. It's Morning Sedition with Mark and Mark, Air America Radio 57, past the hour.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Six past the hour, it's Air America Radio's Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron, that's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
We're broadcasting live from 69 Gansevoort Street, Restaurant Florent, in the beautiful Meatpacking District right here in New York City. In just a couple of minutes, we're going to be talking to Fernando Ferrer, whose name I keep mispronouncing for 2 days. For some reason, I get Jose Ferrer's name in my head, and I say Ferrer, and it's wrong.
Jose pronounced it the same way, too.
He did? Yeah. He said Ferrer?
Yeah.
All right, so I'm just a big ass. he's one of New York's mayoral candidates seeking the Democratic nomination to run against Mayor Bloomberg. He's a former Bronx Borough president. Please welcome Fernando Ferrer.
Now, I don't know if I should recuse myself from this conversation, because Mr. Ferrer and I are old friends. We went to school together, and I don't want people to think I'm in the tank for the guy.
But Mark Riley is a much older man.
Much older, yeah. He's been saying that all week.
Yeah.
So what was your reaction yesterday when the biggest union in New York got behind Bloomberg?
Well, you know, all union politics is local, and that's about the leadership and fights that they're having among themselves. But I'm confident that the rank and file, of which I used to be a member 30 years ago, will come to understand who's fighting for affordable housing, for subways that are safe and reliable and affordable, who's fighting for good schools for their kids. And it ain't Mike Bloomberg.
Okay. All right. He seems to be... He's taking a lot of credit, though, for education numbers, for the higher grades and all that stuff.
Yeah,
he
what about
taking
the,
credit for everything?
I mean, it's like a 15% increase, the highest increase in test scores since they started keeping track.
No, actually, I think you're talking about the 15% increase in subway crime. Mike ought to take credit for that, too. The 10% increase you're talking about in the fourth grade reading scores, that's a narrow measure of the school system. Look, if we're going to effectively and honestly evaluate the school system, then you do it by outcomes. What are the outcomes? Graduating kids on time with all the tools they need to go to college or get a good job. That's the only way you look at a school system. By that measure and that measure alone, according to the Harvard University study of last year, 38% of our kids graduate on time, compared to 68% as the national average, with underperforming by 30 points. Worse than that, only 18% of our kids get a Regents diploma. That means all the rest of them don't ever get to see the inside of a college.
Wow.
Now, when you look at some of the issues that are confronting New York, certainly you mentioned affordable housing.
Right.
The mayor has put forward some years ago, actually now, an ambitious plan to build something on the order of 65,000 units of what is described as affordable housing. What is affordable housing to Fernando Ferrer in terms of the income that people would have to qualify for affordable housing?
You know, it's a really good thing you're asking me that, Mark, because we're right in the middle of the meatpacking district here, where we're looking at the conversion of old industrial buildings into multi-million-dollar condos. That is not affordable housing.
No.
So let's understand what affordable housing is. We shouldn't be helping affordable housing in the city with triple tax-exempt financing and favorable land use decisions. Look, somebody wants to buy a multi-million-dollar condo, God bless, love to have you live here. But that's not affordable housing. Affordable housing is something that's available and accessible to a middle-class family and a working-class family everywhere in this city, and that's not it.
4 years ago, you talked about the other New York. You said there were two New Yorks. You took some heat for saying there were two New Yorks. Is that going to be a theme in this year's campaign? I haven't heard much about it up until now.
Well, is it a shock that even more people are being squeezed out of the middle class, and that's bad news for the middle class, and even worse news for the working class and the poor who just want to work their way into the middle class? Those are policies that come straight from the White House, straight from Albany, and straight from City Hall. They put the tax burden right on the people who can afford it most. The most regressive taxes are being put forward. The most regressive labor policies are being put forward. I mean, when people start talking about democratic values and then say Mike Bloomberg used to be a Democrat, the operative term is used to be. And he wasn't much of a Democrat then either. This is a guy who showered multi-millions of dollars on George Bush, on the most backward congressional Republicans, on George Pataki, who's been basically phoning in his performances as governor for the last two terms.
I think he's
Give
retarded.
Me a break.
I think he's mildly retarded, George Pataki. Yeah, I think it's a big secret. I think we have some questions from the floor here for Fernando Ferrer.
We have Jillian. She's a teacher in Queens.
I am a proud New York City school teacher in Long Island City, Queens, and we have been without a contract for over 2 years.
Right.
It's wonderful that the reading and math scores are up, but it's frustrating to see the mayor take credit. As mayor, what will you do to resolve the teachers' contract issues?
Well, first of all, I would have resolved that contract already when the head of the teachers' union proposed in response to a demand by the chancellor. They go to a simple contract, that eight-page contract. She said, well, let's do it in 100 schools, 100 low-performing schools. Let's pick the schools right now, and let's bring this contract to a head. Chancellor said, no. I would have taken that deal in a heartbeat, because that would have started the most important experiment in New York City public schools in four decades, but it also would have acknowledged one important thing. You can't, not only can you not wait 2 to 3 years for a contract, my wife is an elementary school principal. Your bills don't wait. Your rent doesn't wait. Your milk prices don't wait. Subway fares? Hey, you swipe a Metro card and you haven't got enough in it. You're out of luck. You're walking. That's the problem with Mike Bloomberg. He doesn't get it. But I don't think he's had to deal with monthly bills for a long, long time.
That's for sure. So now I'm a little nervous about the trains lately because obvious reasons. And they got these gates there. I just feel like when I'm down the subway that there are these gates there. God forbid something happens at some stop or this. If there's no one there, you got to get out in a single file line. How are you going to improve subway security?
Well, you know, the thing is, this wasn't a surprise to us. Yeah. Mike Bloomberg and our police commissioner make much of the fact that they've been building up our intelligence capability in the city, and that's a good thing. Keeps us safer. So the vulnerability of our subways, mass transportation, was not a secret to them. In fact, our wake-up call was not the London blast. It was a week before when we read that subway crime was spiking by 15%.
Yeah.
Obvious vulnerability there. Mike Bloomberg has been going to Albany, going to Washington, trying to get our Homeland Security fair share funding, coming back empty-handed, and when he comes back, he jets off to Germany in pursuit of the Olympic Games. He obviously needed something to do.
If you were mayor, would you keep Ray Kelly as police commissioner?
Look, I like Ray Kelly. I've worked with him a long time, but my preference is to bring in my own people. There are good people in this department who understand the men and women of this department, who understand the dual nature of effective policing, but understand something else, too, that we need a police department that inspires the trust and confidence of every New Yorker.
So, okay, so Bloomberg's like got a pretty big lead here. What are we going to do, Fernando Ferrer, to narrow this lead? How are we going to do it? What's the plan?
Well, first of all, I want to win the primary. It's a two-step process. People are going to make a choice among the four of us September 13th. I hope to win it, and I'm going to make my case in every corner of New York. And then I'll take it to the big boy. I'm not concerned about $100 million, and I'm going to make that an issue. Look, in 2001, he spent $74 million and to get himself elected, and he told people, I need to do that to let people know who I am. Well, this time he's on track to spending over $100 million in an effort to make New Yorkers forget who he's been for the last 3.5 years.
What, is he going to send them money? Just every New Yorker gets $15?
You know, he is single-handedly stimulating the New York City economy, especially for political consultants.
Real quickly, how will you get the other three, assuming you win the primary, how will you get the supporters of the other three candidates to back you and not bolt and back Bloomberg?
Well, look, I think all four of us are committed Democrats, and I believe committed to Democratic values. We have differences about how we approach things, but at the end of the day, there's no doubt about it. Mike Bloomberg, a supporter of George Bush, a supporter of right-wing congressional Republicans, a supporter of George Pataki, himself a supporter of policies that don't reflect Democratic values and never did, should be out of there.
Fernando Ferrer, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Great talking to you. Good luck in the primary.
Good being with you.
Okay. It's morning's edition with Mark and Mark. We're broadcasting live from Restaurant Laurent on Gansevoort Street, Johnny K Street. In the wings. Stay with us. It's 16 past the hour.
MorningsEdition.com. Our guests, our comedy, your vlog. MorningsEdition.com. Air America Radio.
Past the hour, it's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
Morning's edition broadcasting live from Restaurant Laurent on 69 Gansevoort Street, right here in the beautiful Meatpacking District of New York City. Come on down, say hello. We're giving away a 6-month subscription to Film Movement, the DVD of the Month Club for independent and foreign films. Each month, members receive an award-winning new film direct from the world's top festivals. The DVDs, including the feature film and bonus short, are yours to own. For more information, visit filmmovement.com. We've already given one away to Paul. Congratulations for winning.
Yeah.
Good for you. Congratulating someone for winning. Nice job on winning the raffle. That was highly skilled raffle work. But my father does that. My father calls me up. I swear to God, he calls me up and I'll go, what's wrong? I can't believe I didn't win the lottery. And I'm like, really? Did you have a strategy? You can't believe it, huh? All right, so folks, there are lots of big stories in the news this week, so it's time to get some bets down with our Inside the Beltway odds maker, Johnny K Street. How are you, Johnny?
Yeah.
Where's the action, baby? Where's the action?
It follows me, baby!
All right, for the second week running, it's all about Karl Rove to go down, baby.
Yeah.
Rove action is multiplying like the national debt. Most of the smart money's on Rove to lose it all.
Yeah.
I watched Scott McCone hold a press conference the other night. I haven't seen someone sweat like that since Sammy the Bull Gravano took the witness stand. You know what I'm saying?
So, Johnny, what are the odds on Bush firing Rove?
Yeah, he'll do that right after he nominates Michael Moore to the Supreme Court. Are you kidding me? Come on. The odds on Bush firing Rove are going up at 1,001, but I'm taking a lot of action on it, so get your money down.
All right, buddy, I'm down for a C-note.
You'll put me down for 200.
You couldn't be more covered if you were wearing a burqa. All right.
Johnny, what are the odds Rove's going to go to jail?
Go to jail? Now, that is a definition of a long shot. There's a better chance of Bin Laden winning American Idol next year. Come on. That's why it's getting off at 10,001.
I'm down for 100 on that.
All right, put me down for a sawbuck,
yeah,
dude.
Don't hurt yourself, Big Shot. All right.
What are the odds that Bush holds a special press conference to come clean about this whole thing?
The same odds of you waking up next to Angelina Jolie tomorrow morning. Bush hasn't dragged his feet like this since the last time he fell off his bike. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you, man.
So the safe bet is Bush will just keep quiet.
Just keep quiet. Well, like we say around the clubhouse, the White House has gone to the mattresses on this one. You know, the mattresses on this one. Is this New York? He's keeping his mouth shut in public, but behind the scenes, there's more spinning going on than the ice capades.
All right, dude. Hey,
why did that get a laugh?
Don't worry about it. Johnny, hey, buddy, what are the side bets on Rove today? What do you got, man?
Oh, you get paid today, right?
Yeah.
I know you do. Guess what? I get paid today, too.
Yeah.
First! All right, here's another way to go on Rove. 5001, Bush cuts Rove loose. He ends up working the dinner theater circuit with Jeff Gannon in a production of La Caja Fall.
Yo, I'll take that for a sawbuck, Johnny.
All right, put me down for a C-note. And thanks for the visual of Karl Rove and drag. I appreciate that.
All right, here's my bet of the week. This is 1,000,001. Rove gets arrested for treason and ends up in Guantanamo. Hey, according to the Bush administration, Guantanamo isn't that bad.
Yeah.
You know, I read a story on Guantanamo yesterday. It said the prisoners were tortured. Some of them weren't tortured. They were just forced to wear dog collars, bras, and dance with other men. That's not prison. That's the West Village on Friday night. You know what I'm saying? I got to go get the new Harry Potter book. I'm out of here.
Johnny K. Street.
All right, John.
Johnny K. Street. I guess I got to get him that money I owe him. That's the deal there,
yeah,
huh?
I would say so, yeah.
So how many people knew that it was actually Arab American Week in New York City? Anybody? One person. Isn't that unbelievable? It is Arab American Week, and Dean Obadalla, the comedian, the Arab American comedian, is going to address that in a few minutes. We're going to have him out here. What's some other comedy going on? George Pataki running for president. Hilarious.
Oh, that is hilarious. He's actually going to Iowa, Mark, to try and test the waters.
The guy is charmless. He's got the personality of a rock.
He looks like Richie Cunningham from Happy Days back in the day.
All right. You want to just keep slamming him?
That's
As I said before, I think he's retarded.
Oh, well, see, there you go. But see, I don't know who in his office thought this was a good idea. I don't know who was filling his head with this idea that he could someday be president.
Okay.
That's insane.
Yeah.
It's absurd.
Did you know, can I give you a little history here? This goes way back, Riley. This is before you used to party down here.
Oh, wait
that,
a minute.
This, apparently, the area began as a trading village for the Algonquin Indian tribe.
Did I knew you know that. I was here.
You look great, man.
Thank you.
It was once home to 250 slaughterhouses and meatpacking plants. And right down here, the 75-year-old elevated railway known as the High Line is slated to be preserved, our guest Florence said, as it's a 1.5-mile public park. That's what they're going to start work on.
Yeah, there's been a lot of back and forth about this. It's been going on here in New York for a while, the controversy about what to do with this particular stretch of abandoned elevated railway, because there are a lot of developers that would like to get their hands on it so they could build stuff here. And people ought to be clear about one thing as well.
Yeah.
Were it not for the fighting that activists did about 40 years ago, this neighborhood would not be here today.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Moses, back in the day, the guy who cut the throat of the Bronx by installing the Cross Bronx Expressway, wanted to put a West Side Expressway right through the middle of this neighborhood, stretching right through the middle of Greenwich Village. And people fought and they won, and that's why this neighborhood looks the way it does today.
And as Fernando Ferrer was saying, you see that boarded up window right up there? I bet you I couldn't even afford to live there.
Probably not.
I couldn't even afford to live there.
No, I can't even afford the bars on the other windows over there.
So, folks, as I said, Dino Badal will be out here. We got Steve Earle's going to come out and play some songs in a little while. We got Rapture Watch coming up in a few minutes. We got all that. We're broadcasting live from Restaurant Ferrant here on Gansevoort Street in the Meatpacking District of New York City. You're listening to Air America Radio's Mornings Edition with Mark and Mark. It is 27 past the hour.
Said a joker to the thief, there's too much confusion.
Mornings Edition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley on Air America Radio.
Past the hour. Good morning. It's Friday.
Yeah.
Morning to Lisa and Mark and Mark. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
You're
listening to Air America Radio, broadcasting live from 69 Gansevoort Street, Restaurant Florent, right here in the heart of New York's Meatpacking District, where they are pulling up steel plates from the cobblestone streets just outside.
Yeah, that's because we're here.
This is sabotage, Riley. This was sent by Bloomberg. That's what happened.
They're cleaning up the neighborhood because they knew we were coming.
No, it's a conspiracy, man. Bloomberg knew Ferrer was going to be here. He sent the bulldozers. I think that's what's happening here. Folks, look, you know, we're going to have Cardinal Milpington out here in a few minutes, but... Rich is a big fan of Cardinal Milpington.
Yeah.
We had a security problem. Three guys almost had to wrestle an elderly woman to the ground here moments ago. You all right, Fanny? You okay?
Yeah,
all right,
okay.
Nice to see you.
By the way, our two giants are standing there like they've got alms baskets in church or something.
Yeah, they've got mouse pads.
Picking up a collection from?
I know. They've got mouse pads and keychains. But here we go. Let's do this. This week is the first Arab American week in New York history, but many New Yorkers don't seem to have noticed at all. One person new here. Here to help us celebrate is the best Palestinian Sicilian American comic around. He's a friend of the show, and we're glad to have him back. Please welcome Dino Badala to the show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on, Mark and Mark.
I got to be honest with you.
People.
I know.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
Yeah, this is really a lot of energy.
Yeah, it's great. I had no idea. See, I feel bad, Dean, because I didn't know it was Arab American Week.
Well, one person here did, and I guess clearly they're FBI. That's it's Arab American Heritage Week. They tried for 3 years, and we're... Even though it's a week, we're happy to get it because, you know, other groups get like a month. There's Black History Month, Asian Awareness Month. Arabs, up until now, we've gotten Orange Alert. So we're happy to get a week. Like, Ferrer is elected. Maybe we get a month. Maybe we get like a big Gifford Miller gives us 3 weeks, Ferrer 2 weeks, whatever it is.
The timing's a little funky for Arab American Week, I think.
Well, I don't think it was planned that way. It's a horrible... No, but it really, for Arab Americans, if you look at the news media, to have something positive is great because there's two stories about Arabs, honestly. If you watch the media, there's the bad ones where we're described as militant gunmen or terrorists. And then there's the good one where we're described as alleged militant gunmen or terrorists. So anything positive, we're really happy to have it. Even though it's a week and people are interested, it's ArabAmericanHeritage.net and there's different events. There's a big street fair tomorrow. There's some music tonight. All week there's different things. We did a comedy workshop.
A comedy workshop?
For Arabs to try to get them. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds great, dude.
We want to teach them a skill. Come on, Mark. Funny Arabs out there. It's comedic. I mean, they're fun. It's tough being Arab. And I'm Palestinian, which people ask me what it's like. To New Yorkers, maybe you can relate to it. Being Palestinian is like being a New York Mets fan. No, at the beginning of every year, you're like, yeah, this is going to be a great year. And halfway through, you're like, this is going to suck, just like every year. That's what it's like being Palestinian.
So have you been keeping up with the news, the Supreme Court issue, the nominations? You got anything going with that?
I think it's interesting that they really want to get a female justice to replace Sandra Day. And I'm thinking they don't have a lot of options. The famous female judges, you've got like Judge Judy and Paula Abdul. So I think we go with Paula Abdul because she'll sleep with some of the judges. It'll be a lot of fun. She's more fun.
Did you? We got the news that they identified a lot of these bombers in London, and apparently they...
First of all, they're Pakistani, not Arab.
Well,
it's a subtle difference. I'm nothing against Pakistani.
Thanks for clearing that up.
Anything, we do anything
you look touchy about that, you all right?
I've been in hiding. These bulldozers are for me outside. Okay. Nothing to do with your show, just so you know.
But it's weird to me that all these Muslim groups have taken responsibility. All these extreme jihadist groups have websites.
That's to me, like, Al-Qaeda Europe claimed responsibility on their website. You probably heard about that. My question is, how did Al-Qaeda get a web designer? That's my question. Is the job market that tight right now? They put an ad like in Craigslist or PC Magazine, experienced web designer wanted, you know, great benefit package, maybe some virgins.
I think we might have done that on our Monday job listing.
I think so.
You guys. What was the interview like? He's like, what kind of website are you looking for? The interview in the Al-Qaeda guy's like, have you seen the Hezbollah website? We like that. I love the pop-up stuff. I like that. Oh, it's fun. Anyone been to the Al-Qaeda website? No one's been. You have to go. It's kind of fun. There's a lot of stuff for Arab porn, and Netflix is all over it, which is amazing, I think.
Oh, my God.
Not really Netflix. Does Netflix a sponsor?
So now, I know the last time you were here, we talked about Saddam Hussein and his trial and upcoming. And now, like, there was an Esquire article? I can't remember. Who wrote that article?
I'm not exactly sure. You asked me like it's under interrogation. I have no idea who wrote that article. But I was intrigued by the fact everyone said this, that he likes nacho chips. He's eating nacho chips in prison.
Yeah.
I think nachos should take advantage of him and use him as a commercial spokesman now. Sometimes like, hello, do you remember me, Saddam Hussein? Former president of Iraq. You might recognize me with pictures of me in my underwear and your papers. Look, I've lost my country. I'm in prison. I'm going to be executed. My life would be horrible if not for the great taste of nacho chips. And I will admit to you, I do have WMDs, weapons of mass deliciousness, right here in every bag.
That'll work.
You would watch it. You're like, I can't believe they got Saddam Hussein. You know?
That would actually be a great commercial. Where you been lately?
Recently,
you were going to Dubai.
Most comics, I was in Dubai doing a show in the Arab Emirates. I'm mostly in New York clubs, to be honest. But I was in Dubai over there. I was doing a show for the insurgents because they need to laugh. Not really insurgents. I told my friend I did a show for the insurgents. He goes, were you scared? I'm like, you're an idiot. I didn't do a show for the insurgents. But I did a show. Easiest job in the world. If you ever want an easy job, people, go to Dubai, be a weatherman. Every day's like this in the summer. It's like, okay, tomorrow 98, Tuesday 98, Wednesday cold front 96. Put on a sweater. It's going to be a cold one.
So, where are you working this weekend, Dean?
Dangerfield and Gotham.
Gotham Comedy Club here on 22nd Street.
Oh, you love that place. They love you. And then the next week at the Comedy Cellar, of course.
Dangerfield, I have not set foot in that club in 22 years.
It looks the same.
Well, I know. I walked in once and I'm like, this place is possessed by evil, weird spirits. I can't work here.
I haven't sensed that yet, Mark. You must be very in tune.
Well, at the time I was on blow. It was a different time in my life. But I thought I could move coffee cups with my mind. It was really a different time for me.
If you went back now in the clarity of sobriety, you'd probably hit the same sense. That's what I think you'd get.
You're at Gotham, you're at Dangerfield.
Next week, the Cellar. Okay. I have to mention that.
Is there special events for the Arab? You doing any comedy events other than the workshop for the Arab American Week?
We did that already on Tuesday. No, we're doing Arab American Comedy Festival, the third annual. It's in November, arabcomedy.org. Go chat. And that's a lot of fun. You don't have to be Arab to enjoy it. You know, you're welcome. Don't be afraid. We want you there. It's a great show. A lot of talented people, and it's a lot of fun. And this is a recruiting pitch. This is how it starts. First is with a comedy workshop.
It's weird because it really looks like a hard sell. I couldn't. Yeah, if this is a room full of liberals, I couldn't see more disinterested people in actually engaging in Arab culture. This is it's daunting to me. They're just like, I don't know.
If we got to catch Bin Laden. If we caught Bin Laden, then people will feel better. I remember what happened to Bin Laden. Remember him? He was like a star. Everyone remember he was like on TV. But no one does. You know, next time you see Bin Laden, he'll be a cast member on VH1 Surreal Life. He's a has-been. I mean, a hot tub with Flavor Flav. I mean, nobody cares.
There's actually a story.
Catch this guy.
There's actually a story out today, Dean, that his poll numbers are dropping.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
I swear to God,
I'm not lying.
Who are they polling?
Yeah, I know. That's a good question.
Who's doing this poll? What do you think of Bin Laden? They come to your door.
I imagine they're polling. They didn't poll me.
Bush's? Are they above Bush's poll numbers?
Yeah, they're about the same, actually.
They're almost exactly the same.
Bush and Bin Laden are right at par with each other.
I would dare say the people here don't like President Bush, but I'll tell you this. I like the fact that President Bush laughs and at any press conference. Have you seen that? And this is true.
He wasn't laughing yesterday.
Most ones, a lot of things that aren't even funny. Like the other day, he's like, I was just in Europe trying to build a coalition.
Like, why is that funny? Is he taunting France? What is going on? My friend, you know when he laughs? He laughs when he says something he's proud of, like when he pronounces a big word correctly.
Yeah.
He's like, I was just
like
talking
nuclear.
He's like, I was just talking to Ukrainian President Yushchenko. I nailed that. Cheney, it was my darling.
I think it's because there's a guy up in his head that looks just like him going, la, 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 la.
I don't know. One thing about Bush's speech pattern I've noticed.
Yeah.
And even when he's serious, he'll slow down when he's making a point. Like, he'll speak and then slow down like talking to a child. Like, he was doing a speech about alternative fuel sources the other day. He's like, because we have to be no longer dependent on foreign oil. I'm like, why does he do that? Then it occurred to me that's probably the way it was explained to him.
Dino Badala, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Hey, Dean, I just want you to know the Caterpillar guy across the street with the bulldozer just pulled up to listen to you.
He did?
Yes, yeah. He did. He stopped and listened.
Don't tell him where I live.
Why don't you go get a ride in the bulldozer,
yeah,
Dean?
Yeah.
So you'll be at Gotham this weekend.
And Dangerfield.
And Dangerfield, thanks for dropping by.
Thanks very much, guys. Thank you very much.
It's 44 past the hour. You're listening to Morning's Edition live from Restaurant Florent on Gansevoort Street here in the Meatpacking District. It's 44 past the hour. It's Air America Radio.
You're listening to Morning Sedition with Mark Maron and Mark Riley.
No, we're not homosexual, but we are willing to learn.
Air America Radio.
Good morning. It's Friday morning here in New York City. This is Morning's Edition with Mark and Mark. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hey.
You're listening to Air America. We're broadcasting live from Restaurant Florent on 69 Gansevoort Street here in the beautiful Meatpacking District of New York City. And people are out on the street. The place is packed, my friends. Packed.
Yeah.
How do you like that, Riley?
Out on the street, huh?
All the smokers out on the street. The guys in the bulldozer have stopped to listen for a minute. Thanks, fellas. How you doing? Good.
Hi,
all right. It's always the guy like they care. You know, they're like, what do they want? Who are those people? Who is Karl Rove? I'm judging. That's wrong, isn't it? Hey, folks, the Bible's book of Revelation portends the end of days and the second coming of the Christian Messiah, one of our president's favorite stories. Though no one knows when the end times will come, there are signs that will appear to men. Here on Morning Sedition, we won't let you be caught off guard by the end of the world. That's why we present this week's Rapture Watch with Cardinal Milpington of the recently disgraced Diocese of Janesville, Wisconsin. Your grace.
Come hither, ye craven Albigensians of Restaurant Florent, suckling at the teats of hell's luciferic crudités. This quirky, low-key luncheonette is nothing more than a hedonistic front for the devil's dining room. And your souls have become an overpriced buffet of soylent beard. The preferred butter-soaked food source of your Jerry Lewis god. You have been tainted by the sin of physical objects for too long now, thou snail-munching lovers of mime. The signs are upon us. As you may recall, thrice abdominals ago, I told you how Willie Nelson was going to release a reggae album. The week after that, I told you how stunned shepherds in Turkey watched 1,500 of their sheep jump off a cliff to their deaths. And the week after that, I told you, if you really need to calm down a flock of sheep, you probably don't want to use a Willie Nelson reggae album. But none of that matters now, ye buggering boggle mills of Languedoc. For midnight approacheth, and the end times are nigh. It's time to stick a fork in your world, because it's done. Hit the road, Jack, and don't come back no more. Take me drunk, I'm home. This van's a rockin', don't come a knockin'. Mafia staff car, ass gas or grass. Arg, Satan! My powers of distracting me with annoying novelty bumper stickers is strong today. How you doing, Mark?
I'm pretty good, buddy. I'm paying attention. I'm here. I'm listening, man.
Wake up.
Okay, I'm here.
This week, I have disturbing news of such evil and demonic intensity that it'll make the headline, Headless Body Found in Topless Bar, sound like a walk in the park. For you see, a company in Scotland calling itself Holy Socks is now selling golf balls inscribed with Bible verses.
Oh, no.
Coming in boxes of three, the balls quote passages like Ezekiel 46:9. Each shall go out straight ahead, and I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Do the math, Mark.
Yeah.
A box of three.
Okay.
It sells for $15.
Yeah.
Ezekiel 46:9.
Right.
What does that add up to?
666?
Nope. 649, but that's close enough for me. Mark, this is clearly the work of Satan seeking the book of put the mark of the beast upon our balls.
What? When does that happen?
It will surely bring on the rapture, tribulation, and a lot of embarrassing questions later. For it was prophesied in Revelation 4. And I quote it, and the day will arise on the sixth hole of the sixth tournament of the sixth month that Jesus will get beamed in the noggin by a hack taking a mulligan. And that is why the Crusades will happen.
Yeah.
End quoted.
Yeah.
Now I understand the good intentions of those trying to spread the word of God to rich, fat, white people. But I learned long ago the error of committing such sacrilege and heresy, Mark.
Yes.
For only our Lord and Savior is qualified to get on that fairway and lovingly speak the words of God through the balls of men. That is why it's imperative I unload my exclusive line of Milfington golf equipment now. You can choose from my Exodus 22:18, thou shalt not permit a female witch to live, Mashy Niblick. The Luke 12:47, Jesus said it's okay to beat slaves 9-iron. And the popular Exodus 22:19, whoever lies with an animal shall be put to death, ball washer. And yes, if you're counting, that was ball joke number three. Order now, and I'll send you a clean definition of the golf term wood. Oh, man. You won't need any money where you're going, heathens.
Stay in it, man. Stay in it.
For soon you'll be tee off in hell while demons conduct unholy mischief within your bowels. And I'll be taking my place at the throne of Jesus Christ in his house elf Winky. His house elf Winky. Until then, fornicators, keep on fornicating and we'll keep the light on for you.
Yeah!
In hell.
Yeah. Wow. Look at that. Look at that. That's the Cardinal Milfington. Jim Earl is Cardinal Milfington. I'm going to go ahead and give you credit, Jim. You know?
Big thanks to you.
Yeah. Why the attitude? You know, people think we really don't like each other.
Well, we don't. You do good work. Occasionally. Who's this guy?
This is Mark Riley. He works here with us.
Yeah.
He's the guy that's got the man crush on you.
Yeah, right. By the way, there's some guys from the meatpacking district that were walking by while you were in the middle of that. They had no clue what the hell you were doing.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. Half the time, I don't either.
Thanks thanks for talking down to the people, guys.
Come on, Jim.
Boy.
Jim.
What? When you guys get silent, you don't screw around.
So what do you got going this weekend? Anything?
I'm going to get some Eggs Florentine right now, I think.
Well, that's exciting.
Maybe get a beer.
A beer? Good for you. But you don't have a drinking problem or anything, do you?
No, not at all.
You do know it's only 5 to 8 in the morning, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, just want to make sure. Just checking in. If you need help, you know, give me a call.
I got to take the edge off.
Okay. Jim Earl, folks. Jim Earl.
Yeah. Oh, he's going outside. Now, quick, lock the door.
Jim's got the big following. But, yeah, you know, we did get an email, man. We got an email of some guy saying, you know, quit, lay off Jim. Clearly, you're just a bully. He doesn't understand that Jim and I script every word of that goes on between us.
Now, does that guy know that Jim is also some other characters on the network? Like Sammy the Stem Cell, for example?
I'll tell you, we get some emails where I don't think people have any idea that how radio works at all.
Well, they just listen.
Yeah?
I guess.
We're their friends, Mark.
We're
talking to them right now.
Oh, okay.
In cars across the country.
Hi!
There could be people driving down the street with a body in their trunk going, I love Mark and Mark.
Oh, by the way, there's somebody that's here that actually came from Madison, Wisconsin.
Hey! There he is.
Yeah.
So basically what we're saying is we're holding him hostage. So the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah. You want him back?
What's the name? The Mike in Madison.
Yeah.
That's a great station. We get a lot of calls from there. So you're getting down for a week, huh? Well, thanks for What's up, Brendan P.W. McDonald on the mic? What's going on, Gerald? Give him a little juice.
Somebody here came all the way from Tacoma, Washington.
Washington.
All right.
And Steve Ehrlich walked in from down the street.
Yeah.
And that's Rich screaming at Steve Earle. Steve, don't be afraid of Rich. He comes all the time.
Yeah.
So as you know, we're going to have Steve Earle on in a few minutes. We're going to have much more comedy, maybe a little bit of information. God, everyone's here.
Yeah.
We're broadcasting live from Restaurant Laurent on Gansford Street in the Meatpacking District. Come on down between Washington and Hudson. It's 57 past the hour. You're listening to Morning's Edition with Mark and Mark on Air America Radio.
Yeah.
Edition on Air America Radio. Good morning.
We're broadcasting live from Restaurant Florent at 69 Gansevoort Street, right here in the beautiful Meatpacking District of New York City. Giving away coffee. We've got keychains. We've got Steve Earle coming up. We got people from Wisconsin here. We got people from Tacoma, Washington here. We got just New Yorkers here as well.
Yeah.
Which is great. Coming in from all over the city. I'm surprised this place is packed, Riley.
Yeah, it is packed. And we just got a really great parfait over here.
What is that? I don't even know what it is. They sent over so much strawberries and like a custard and chocolate cookies. Your timing was perfect on this. If you would have given this to me an hour ago, I would have been just manic and freaked out.
No, he wouldn't. He'd be curled over in the corner over here.
I used to have an M&M problem, but I kicked it. Thank you. So, look, folks, we're giving away 3 6-month subscriptions to Film Movement. I've already given away two. It's the DVD of the Month Club for independent and foreign films, and obviously they are sponsoring our event here. Each month, members receive an award-winning new film direct from the world's top festivals. The DVDs, including the feature film and the bonus short, are yours to own. For more information, visit filmmovement.com. Dig this, Riley. Did you see someone's handing out wanted signs for Carl Turd Blossom Rove?
Uh-oh.
For treason and war crimes. And there's a little picture of him being brought away in handcuffs. And it looks like it's like one of those Photoshop jobs.
Yeah.
But looks great. It's really exciting to see that, isn't it, folks?
I love technology. Nice?
It says, lock Bush's brain up. I'm into that. Can I read that web story again? Would that be all right? Because
yeah,
a lot of people
please.
Are just tuning in. And I enjoyed reading it. Because a lot of people don't realize just if Karl Rove is guilty of perjury and treason, which he is guilty of, if he is convicted of perjury, I want people to understand that him and George Bush, Karl Rove and George Bush, are the same person. Karl Rove designed George Bush's political personality, and they've been with each other for years. And a lot of people don't realize when they fell in love, and I'd like to capture that.
Yeah, can please I? Do.
Picture it's 1973. It's Washington, D.C. The cherry blossoms are blooming. The smell of cherry blossoms are in the air. And Karl Rove, after a long, sweaty night of masturbating to pictures of William McKinley and dreaming about having a normal-shaped head with hair on it, gets a call from George H.W. Bush, who he's working for, and his boss, George H.W. Bush, says, hey, could you go pick up my kid at the train station? He's coming home from Harvard this weekend. So Rove shows up a little skittish and angry that more people aren't paying, they're paying a price for his self-loathing. And off the train walks a young W., fresh from Harvard Business School, where he's been busy on a 3-day coke bender and a date rape. And the clouds open up, and Rove is just struck in man love with George W. Bush. And this is a quote from Karl Rove right here. Quote, he was exuding more charisma than any one individual should be allowed to have. So let's not mistake the fact, if Karl Rove goes down, then I think that we should know right now that George Bush is going with him. Because he designed George Bush. He was the architect of his rise to power from his Texas days. He orchestrates policy initiatives. He is charting the course for a never-ending Republican dominance. If we don't stop him, he does it. He does it all. He's the evil genius, and he's going down, Riley.
He is going down. He can't really weasel out of the central question here. See, people have spent this past week trying to obscure what the central issue is with Karl Rove and this whole scandal involving the leaking of Valerie Plame's name. The question is, What was Karl Rove doing talking to journalists about Joe Wilson's wife? What was he doing? What he was trying to do was discredit Joe Wilson. This is how the Bush administration does its business, and certainly Joe Wilson and Valerie Plame will not be the first. They will not be the last. They're going to keep this up until we, the electorate, stop them.
Yeah, they're trying, and they're also trying to discredit Joe Wilson now. And Joe Wilson's sort of like, look, I got nothing to hide, you idiots. This isn't about me. It's about the fact that he perjured himself, and he also leaked the name of a CIA undercover agent, yeah, which is treason.
Hey, guys, yeah. It's Brennan. As a guy here in the restaurant that, I don't know, maybe he has something to add to this.
Okay.
Sir, what's your name?
Hi, this is Ted from Nebraska.
Okay.
Once again, you liberals are totally going on a witch hunt with Karl Rove. The man is a hero.
Oh, no, it's happening. Oh, no, I hate when this... help me, Riley. Oh, my God. It's... Oh, no. Oh, no, it's happening. My thoughts are starting to change. I'm becoming him. Oh, no. Help, Pennsylvania.
Live from Radio Halliburton, it's Right and Early, the conservative's way to wake up with Mark the Shark Maron.
Good morning, Neo God. It's 34 past the hour here on Radio Halliburton. If war is certain, Halliburton. Once again, the Democrats are engaging in partisan political attacks. This time against American hero, whistleblower, neocon Don, Mr. Karl Rove. Let me sum up the Democrats' case against Mr. Rove. Yeah. Uh-huh. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah,
yeah.
Blah, blah.
And in summation, and guess who's been hitting Karl Rove? That's right, Hillary Clinton.
Oh, I'm Hillary Clinton, and I think Rove should resign. He disgraced the Oval Office without even having oral sex with a fat girl. Oh, I'm so lonely.
Oh, no, my penis fell off. Tough luck, Hillary. Bush will never turn on Karl Rove. They're best friends. Whoa, Mark the Shark hit the wrong button.
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Yeah, I meant that one, you Texas stud. Hey, it's 36 past the hour. Let's take a call. You're on the air, caller.
Limousine, liberals, gun control.
That's right. Right you are, caller. Rove discouraged a reporter from writing a false story based on a false premise. But if you listen to John Kerry, he's a criminal.
I'm John Kerry. I'm a loser. And furthermore...
Hey, Kerry, while you're down there, pick up Hillary's penis. Hey, it's 38 after the hour. Time for the Neocon Weather Report. This weekend, look for a blizzard of Harry Potter books followed by a 50% chance of Satanism, witchcraft, and flurry of late-term abortions. Happy reading, kids. Stick around, Neocons. We'll be back with Toby Keith.
Don't touch that dial, Patriot. We'll be back with Right and Early.
Dude, what was in that sundae, man?
I don't know,
what
man.
What just happened? Are we all right?
Was it the chocolate?
I snapped out of it. I kind of blacked out. All right, well, look, folks, we got Steve Earle's going to come out in a few minutes and play some songs for us.
Yeah.
I just did his show yesterday.
I heard, yeah.
It's a great show Steve Earle's got right here on Air America. You just you go in with a few songs, you just sit around and listen to him with Steve Earle.
Yeah.
That's the whole show. It's great. And also, Pendejo, the revolutionary, will be with us in a matter of minutes. So please stay with us. Keep listening. It's Mark and Mark here at Restaurant Florent with Morning's Edition and Air America Radio. It is now 14 past the hour.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Charles Barkley. When I want to get caught up on the world events and I can't get in touch with Shaq, MJ, Larry, or Manute Bol, I turn to Mark Maron and Mark Riley. It's Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Y'all ready for this?
Past the hour. Good morning. It's Morning Sedition with Mark and Mark on Air America Radio. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hey.
We're broadcasting live from Restaurant Florent at 69 Gansevoort Street, right here in the heart of the Meatpacking District. of New York City.
Yeah.
You ought to be jealous if you're not here. This place is packed. It's got to be about 100, probably 300 or 400 people packed into this place. All morning we've been giving away 3 6-month subscriptions to Film Movement, the DVD of the Month Club for independent and foreign films. You can go to filmmovement.com for information. We've got one more to give away. Is that right, Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman, who we no longer talk about on the air? It's nice to see Howie Pashman's here. I'm glad you did. You say hi to your brother? Okay, good for you. Oh, man. Hey, you can podcast Morning Sedition. You can take Morning Sedition with you in your MP3 player if you go to morningsedition.com to learn more. Air America also has launched a petition demanding that President Bush fire Karl Rove. Go to airamericaradio.com/Rove to sign the petition.
Yeah.
What's up, Dan?
Hey, guys. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you know that guy, that revolutionary, Pendejo?
I do know
I think
him.
He's back again.
Oh, great. That's great. Hey, man. It's good to see you, buddy. What's happening? How's the...
The revolution, Mark.
Oh, what's...
Yes. I'm still committed to it, but I've got a lot of other things on my mind.
Well, what's up, man? I've been worried about you. You disappeared for a while, and last time we talked, you were dating that crazy radical named Raven. I mean, how's that going, buddy?
Oh, Mark, Raven is out of my life.
Oh, did she find another revolutionary?
No, she's dating the drummer from the Black Eyed Peas.
Oh, so the revolution's just back to you again, is it?
Yeah, I wish it were so. Though Raven wasn't exactly to my taste, what with the stalking and the pistols and the narcotic sales and the random explosions. But the Internet, and particularly Nerve.com, seems to boast a wondrous and inexhaustible selection of socially responsible, progressive-thinking, fringe-dwelling hotties.
So it's all about the hotties now.
See, Mark. But I'm trying to narrow them down to the perfect lieutenant. The revolution is better as a team. I am like Diego Rivera seeking my Frida Kahlo, but without the unibrow.
So how many Fridas have you got going right now there, Stud Muffin?
Cinco, Mark.
Wow. Five. So who are all these chicks?
Revolutionaries, Mark. Well, there's Kiko. She's from Suriname. She's a bit of an eco-terrorist. Then there's Shamisha. She's really into third world debt. There's also Steven.
Whoa, Steven. Is that a dude? Or?
No, Mark, just an angry feminist. And then there's Cloud. She's an animal rights activist, namely with PETA. And then this is where it gets confusing. Then there's PETA, who's sort of an all-purpose anarchist. She likes fire.
First of all, buddy, I'm kind of in awe of you right now, Pendejo, but I got to ask you, how are you juggling all of these potential partners?
Can I tell you something, Mark?
Yes.
I'm freaking out. This is not good. This is hard. Too many revolutionaries, Mark. I'm at my wit's end. All of the lies and subterfuge, it's killing me.
Okay, give me a for instance.
Well, since Shamisha's in the third world debt, when I'm seeing Kiko, the eco-terrorist, I have to tell Shamisha I'm drafting a letter to Bono about no-interest development loans for Ghana. And when I see Shamisha, I have to tell Kiko I'm pouring sugar into bulldozer engines to save the Pine Barrens. And she knows that's already a protected area, Mark. I'm going to get busted.
Oh, man. I couldn't even do that, man. You're biting off more than you can chew here, buddy.
Tell me about it. I'm also running out of money. It's expensive, and there are only so many vegan restaurants in town. And I mean, really, how many times can I see the movie Born into Brothels and still pretend to care during the earnest discussion afterwards? Aren't there any revolutionaries who want to see Charlie in the Chocolate Factory?
Boy, man, it sucks being you.
Sucks big time, Mark. You try making 5 different personalized mixtapes, each with original artwork. It's getting to where I don't even see Stompers.
You're a shih tzu. You
cannot be left alone. But I am leaving Stompers alone, and she's peeing on everything to get back at me. She's so angry.
You're doing a lot of complaining here, Pendejo, for a guy with 5 ladies. There's got to be some upside to that. I mean, come on.
I don't know what you mean, Mark.
Sex, man. The sex. 5 women. Tell me about the sex.
I'm not one to hold hands and tell, Mark, but I'm looking into protection, if you know what I mean.
Condoms?
No, hand sanitizer, Mark. Revolutionaries are filthy as a group.
So who are you going to be seeing next there, Pendejo?
The animal rights activist, Cloud. I'm actually meeting her here, but I promised I'd storm the kitchen here at Florent to liberate the various meats that were murdered. If I don't, she'll just smoke and pout outside.
All right, buddy. Good luck with that. All right, don't liberate the salmon, though. I'm having breakfast here after this.
Comprende, Mark. Viva la revolución!
Pendejo, the revolutionary, as portrayed by Tom Johnson.
Whoa.
I love that guy.
Yeah.
I love that guy.
He's nuts. Uh-oh.
What's the matter? You all right, Tom? What's going on? The revolutionary's got tangled up in the headphones.
Uh-oh.
You almost had a clean exit, buddy. But you stayed in character all the way through the klutzy stuff. Good for you. It's hard when you're upstaged by wires. It's a bad feeling.
It's rough.
So, Riley, let's talk this. Let's talk about this for a minute. Now, George Bush goes to Indiana to the Black Expo to pander to the black community, sends Ken Melman to the NAACP convention. How is that? He has no respect at all for the NAACP, and this goes back a long time.
Well, you know, when you look at first of all, the Indiana Black Expo, they hold this in the RCA Dome, this gigantic cavern.
What is it?
It's just a gigantic spot.
Yeah, but what is it? What is a Black Expo?
Well, that's where they, you know, different vendors that either want to reach the black community or black people that have products and goods to sell, they kind of link up at the Black Expo. They have one here in New York.
Okay.
But, see, now, in Indiana, this place holds, I don't know, 75,000 people. They get 3,000 in the place, so you can imagine how the echo sounds, right?
Yeah.
And then Bush comes out and he starts talking about, well, you know, I've created all these opportunities for black people. Now, I don't know whether the 3,000 that were there applauded that, booed it, or whatever. I think most black people know better than to think that George W. Bush has done anything or has any interest in doing anything for the black community generally. He sees them, I believe, as a voting block that Ken Melman and Karl Rove and the rest of these people have targeted because it is so heavily Democratic.
And the NAACP has criticized the Social Security plan, and but as president, he shouldn't leave bad blood. He should at least try.
Well, he should. I mean, as you very correctly pointed out, and you corrected me, I thought every president since Herbert Hoover, but as it turns out, George W. Bush is the first president since Warren Harding, which was back in the 1920s. Not to go to the NAACP convention. And believe me, sending Ken Melman as a stand-in is not going to the NAACP convention. Please, yeah, let's not kid ourselves about all
that. That guy's the guy that released all the talking points on Karl Rove, all the Republican talking points. He's been the guy that's been at the front lines of the propaganda spin campaign. Meanwhile, Bush is saying nothing. Half the Republicans are saying nothing. It's beautiful. There's really something wrong.
Well, yeah, and remember that Melman is Karl Rove's protege. These guys have this is their time. This is what they see as their golden opportunity to remake America the way they want it. God help me if they do, I'm leaving.
Can I call Melman a Jewish Tom? Would that be all right?
Well, as far as blacks are concerned, sure.
What's that, sir?
He's a closet.
Oh, I think he just outed him. Thank you very much. And if I'm recalling correctly, he just said he's a closeted Tom. This is, I think, the third time you've outed Ken Melman at an event that we've had. Yeah.
There you go.
Good for you. It's nice to see you. Oh, no. Fanny's raising her hand. What's any relationship between Melman and Rove? I don't know. What do you think, Fanny? Yeah. All right. Yeah, she's got a joke on that. Fanny's my 85-year-old joke writer.
Uh-oh.
It's 27 past the hour. We got Steve Earle's going to come and play a couple of songs after this.
Yeah.
You're listening to Morning's Edition with Mark and Mark on Air America Radio, live from Restaurant Floral here on Gansevoort Street in the Meatpacking District of New York City. It's 27 past the hour. Good morning.
You're listening to Morning's Edition on Air America Radio. CNN's 25th anniversary, Morning Sedition is proud to present Great Moments in Journalism on CNN.
And you're looking at some rescuers on the rocks beside a rapidly moving river. On the right-hand part of your screen, you'll see the object of their attention right now, which is a woman, there you go, stuck in the rocks there with her pooch. We presume it's her pooch. Maybe she went to rescue the dog. We don't know the full story just yet, but they're attempting to figure out how to safely get pooch and woman safely to shore there. And anyway, now the woman is on her way to safety. We don't know the circumstances that ended with them being in the middle of that raging rapids on the rocks as the dog came off the rocks. Didn't want a dog paddle there very well, did he? Looks like a shepherd mix, maybe. And that's what you just saw right here live on CNN. No story too small or too large for us.
This has been Great Moments in Journalism on CNN, brought to you by Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Good morning, New York, and the rest of the country, 35 past the hour. Morning Sedition with Mark and Mark. We're broadcasting live from Restaurant Florent at 69 Gansevoort Street here in the Meatpacking District in New York. This is, of course, Air America Radio. Folks, I couldn't be... could not be more thrilled to have our next guest on the show. He's got a show right here of his own on Air America, which I did the other night. I think he'll be playing next week. It was fun to hang out and listen to records with our next guest. His latest album, The Revolution Starts Now, won the Grammy for the Best Contemporary Folk Album earlier this year. His Air America radio show, The Revolution Starts Now, airs Sunday nights at 10 p.m. in New York.
Yeah.
Check with your local affiliate to see when it's on in your city. He's a political activist and a country rocker, and he's here with us now. Steve Earle joins us. Welcome back, Steve. Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The great mandolin player Ronnie McCurry gave me a book by the great revisionist historian Stephen Ambrose. It's called Undaunted Courage. That's about the Lewis and Clark expedition. That's where Thomas Jefferson sent Meriwether Lewis and William Clark out to find out if there was a route by water from the Missouri coast, which there wasn't. And while they were out there, see what kind of Indians there were to kill, which there were plenty, so it wasn't a complete and total failure. This song has absolutely nothing to do with any of that, except possibly in the sense that Manifest Destiny is, well, the ultimate revision of life. Moses went up to the mountain, see what he could see. We come down talking about a burning bush. He said, this is how it's gonna be. He's scared to death, you knew the rest. Columbus went down to the ocean, 1492. He said, boys, I'm looking for India, but America'll do. Sailed into the west, you knew the rest. Hey! Dave Crockett went out to Texas to fight at the Alamo. Oh, well, Travis never told him Texas is Mexico. Oh, it's a bloody mess, you knew the rest. Robert Johnson went to the crossroads, a guitar in his hand. Well, the devil had him a guitar too. He said, this is what you need, man. You could be the best, you knew the rest. Hey! Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Well, this song ain't got no reason. Hell, this song barely rhymes. It come to me when I was asleep, and it wakes me up sometimes. Can't get no rest. You know the rest.
Steve Earle, you know the rest.
Right on, Steve.
Nice.
Nice. Now I'm awake.
That's it. Just takes one song to get you awake now.
I wake up this time of morning fairly regularly, but I just don't sing.
Yeah, yeah. It's good. It locks you right in, man. Yeah, now you're ready to go. Yeah. So, what? You know, I'm just curious. What form? That's a like a talking blues form, right?
It is kind of. You know, I tried to write some real talking blues. I sort of came up under a songwriter called Towns Van Zandt.
Sure.
Who wrote some of the best talking blues. I mean, he kind of went straight from the Woody thing. He had some pretty hilarious. He was one of the funniest human beings that ever lived.
Yeah.
Anyway, and I wrote a couple. My straight talking blues were never that good.
He sort of spawned a whole generation of young country musicians.
Well,
huh?
In Texas, he was just so good. You know, Guy Clark, who I think's another one of the best songwriters around. And you know, knowing Towns before I left Texas gave me an introduction to Guy when I got to Tennessee. And you know, it's not that many people knew who he was when he was alive, but more people. Towns wrote Poncho and Lefty.
Okay.
And, you know, which was, you know, Willie Nelson and Merle Haggard recorded, and it made his ex-wife a lot of money.
So the choice to start doing more of an acoustic, more of a folk sound in terms of, to get the poetry of revolution out there, the poetry of resistance out there, was that was sort of a conscious choice for you to make a shift from...
I don't know. I mean, this last record rocks pretty hard. I mean, my idea of, you know, folk music's like a pretty... that category, the contemporary folk category in the Grammys is always... I've been nominated in it four times. I've had 9 Grammy nominations before I've been in that category, and I finally won it because I wasn't up against Emmylou Harris this year. And it was I lost to Lucinda Williams on a record that I actually produced. So that was
which
that
one
was,
of hers did she produce?
Car Wheels on the Gravel.
That's
Road,
a genius,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And it it's just my suspicions about that category will be confirmed the year that REM are nominated for it, which I think is coming in the next couple of years. It's sort of people that write real songs that are over a certain age go into that category almost.
I get it.
You know, the storytelling, you were just talking about your influence as far as storytelling is concerned.
Right.
I get a sense that there's not a lot. Or there's not as much of that in American music as there used to be.
No, there's not. And I think a lot of it is, you know, even by the time I got to Nashville in 1974, you know, just trying to be a staff writer, they were already trying to narrow down what we could write about. Well, country music was sort of the last bastion of that. I mean, there were a lot of stupid country songs in the 50s and 60s, but there were also songs like Long Black Veil, and, you know, you could write songs about murder and you know, and divorce and things that actually happened to people, you know, you know, then by the time I got there, they were telling me, you know, you need songs that are up tempo and positive, and it needs to have a chorus. Well, I've had like arguably, you know, Copperhead Road, probably my biggest record, and Guitar Town, which was my personal
great
record. Neither one of them have choruses. So
you want to do another song, man?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. This is like I've probably played this song more than any other song, you know, in the last year or so. And it's whenever I get a chance to play one song, I usually play this one because I just came back from Europe and the G8 was getting ready to happen right up the road from where I was. And I was in Manchester the day that it started. And I felt like, you know, if I really believed that anything was going to happen there that was going to help anybody in Africa, I would probably have been more supportive. But there's still a war going on, and I can't get that out of my head. So, Jimmy joined the army because he had no place to go. Because there ain't nobody hiring right here since all the jobs are down in Mexico. Reckon that learning self a trade, maybe see the world. Move to the city someday and marry a black-haired girl. Somebody somewhere had another plan. Now he's got a rifle in his hand. He's ruling Baghdad, wondering how it got this far. Just another poor boy off to fight a rich man's war. Bobby's got an eagle and a flag tattooed on his arm. Red, white, and blue bone when landing Kandahar.
left behind a pretty young wife and a baby girl. Stack of overdue bills and went off to save the world. I spent a year and he's still there, chasing ghosts in the thin dry air. And meanwhile back in home, finance company took his car. Just another poor boy off to fight a rich man's war. Take our turn, keep telling ourselves we're free. Our life was a second son, a second son. Grew up in Gaza throwing bottles and rocks when the tanks come. Ain't nothing else to do around here, it's just a game children play. Something about living in fear all your life makes you hard that way. But he answered when he got the call, wrapped himself in death and he praised Allah. And a fat man in a new Mercedes drove him to the door. Just another poor boy off to fight a rich man's war.
Yeah. Steve Earle, ladies and gentlemen. Stay with us here. Steve's going to stay with us. You're listening to Mark and Mark on Morning Sedition. This is Air America Radio coming to you live from Florent Restaurant here on Gansevoort Street in the heart of Manhattan's Meatpacking District. It's 47 past the hour. Yeah.
Morning Sedition.
Just wake up.
Mark Maron and Mark Riley.
I've heard about those people.
On Air America Radio.
Thanks.
This thing at 51 past the hour.
Yeah.
Mark Mariner with Mark Riley.
Morning.
Morning Sedition live at the Cat Restaurant Florent here on Gansevoort Street. Gansevoort Street. I say it right the whole day. Screwed up at the end. You know, you can go to www.steveearle.com if you want to see what Steve's up to and get some of his records. He said he'd play this song for me to get us get started on the weekend in the right way. I appreciate it. Here's Steve Earle once again.
Yeah.
Bomb my papa's son, a wandering eye, smoking gun. Now some of you had lived through me, then light me up and throw away the key. Find a place to hide away and hope that I'll just go away. Ha! So I feel alright. I feel alright tonight. Yeah, I feel alright. I feel alright tonight. Now I bring you precious contraband, ancient tales from distant lands. Religion, heresy. But I feel alright. I feel alright tonight. Yeah, I feel alright. I mine. Your fondest dreams. Ask a question, tell your lies, criticize, sympathize. But you be careful what you wish for, friend. I've been to hell and now I'm back again. And I feel alright. I feel alright tonight. You feel alright. I feel alright tonight. You feel alright. You feel alright.
Yeah, Steve Earle. Yeah. Steve Earle, thank you.
Thanks.
Hey, I was just on your show. Thank you for coming on mine again. Steve Earle Show, the Revolution Starts Now, airs Sunday nights at 10 p.m. here in New York. You can check your local affiliate to see when it's on in your city. The Revolution Starts Now, still the latest record, still available, obviously.
Absolutely.
And that's it, man. Thanks. It's a great hearing
you. Thank you.
Great hearing you. Also, you can go to filmmovement.com. They've been sponsoring the whole event here. We've given away all our free 6-month subscriptions to Film Movement. Go check it out so you can get involved with that. That's at filmmovement.com. Want to reach out and thank the crew here at Florent.
Yeah.
I want to thank Florent Morellet and the rest of his staff here at the restaurant Florent. Gates Ratsuji, Robert Syracusa, Marisol De La Rosa, Sergio Castillo, Eve Creary, Tim Zay, Ray Olivieri, Osmani Tellez, yes, Kendrick Jarrett, and Denise Dalfo.
Yeah.
And, of course, Morning Seditions, Katie and Matt, Anthony, David, the two Goliaths, Lucy, Terry, John, our researcher, who actually came down. He came out of his cave to say
he?
Hello. He's very important to our show. John Larson, Brendan P.W. McDonald, Kalo in the booth, Mission Control. Give him a round of applause.
Yeah. Nice work, Chris.
And Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman, brother of Howie Pashman, who we don't talk about anymore on the air. Thanks to all you New Yorkers for coming down. Thank you to the guy from Tacoma who came down, the guy from Madison who came down. Next week. We got some good guests next week, Riley.
Yeah,
we've got Tony Shalhoub. We're going to give him a call.
He just got nominated for another Emmy.
Yeah, and he loves Air America, and he's been a big fan of Air America. He's been dying to talk to us for months now. We got Freedy Johnson's going to come into the studio and play.
Chuck Klosterman's going to be there.
Chuck Klosterman, who wrote the Fargo Rock City. He's got a new book out. He's a very funny guy, and he's a great rock critic in his own little weird way.
And we hope next week, ladies and gentlemen, to finally hear on the air from Lawton Smalls.
Yeah, Lawton in Iraq.
He's been taken hostage. We're trying to negotiate his release. We've been on the phone with Mick Ware and some of our contacts over there.
Man. All right, you guys have been great. Thanks for coming down.
You guys
have been fantastic, man. Restaurant
Philosopher. Thank
you. Thank you so much. Air America Radio's Morning Edition with Mark and Mark. 57 past the hour. Have a great weekend, Ryan.
Have a great weekend, man. We'll see you Monday on Air America Radio.
Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.